We're looking this morning at the fourth request of the Lord's Prayer, where Christ told his disciples to ask that God give us this day our daily bread. Now, this doesn't mean simply that we're to ask that we'll have bread on the table each day. It means far more than that. There are four things I want to draw to your attention from this petition. And the first one is that it's a petition that has breadth to it. It isn't just talking about bread. It isn't even just talking about food, as we often would naturally interpret it. But it's talking here about all the material things that we need day by day. You'll notice if you examine this prayer that it is the only request in this prayer that has a definite material or physical focus. All the others have to do with the spiritual aspects. The requests that we've looked at so far have to do with God and his kingdom, that we want his name to be hallowed, to be reverenced. We want his kingdom to come. We want his church to grow. We want his will to be done. We want people to be obedient to God. And the requests that follow it also have a spiritual focus. We want our sins to be forgiven. We want to be led away from temptation and into paths of righteousness. We want to be delivered from the evil one. But in this request, the focus is on the material, on the physical. It's interesting, too, that this request actually comes before all of those other requests for the forgiveness of sins, for being led away from temptation and so on. God is mindful that he has made us as physical beings, that we are flesh and blood, and that our bodies need to be sustained. They need food in order to function correctly. They need clothing to protect them. They need shelter also. And God, therefore, has given us this instruction that we are to pray that he will provide for us all the physical, all the material things that we need. Food, clothing, shelter, and so forth. In fact, Christ later on in the Sermon on the Mount went into some more detail about this. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to the end of the chapter, he focuses on our physical needs. And what does he say there? He says, "I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So that's the gist of this request that we have there in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. He's telling us that we have an instruction, a command to pray for the physical needs that we have, and that God will meet those needs for us. But that closing sentence that I've just read to you from the end of Matthew chapter 6 leads us into the second dimension to this petition, because this petition has a narrowness to it. It has a broadness in that it covers all the physical needs that we have, but it has a narrowness as well in that it is to be prayed daily for the needs of the day. Just as each day has trouble sufficient of its own that we needn't worry about what will happen tomorrow, so God will make provision sufficient for each day. We need not worry about tomorrow's provision. That's what Jesus has just said there, that God provides. And he provides according to our needs. That isn't to ignore the fact that very often the Lord provides over and above all that we need. But the Lord's provision is sufficient for us. It encompasses all that we need day by day. It's a request then that should cause us to trust in the Lord. It's a request that should cause us to recognize that the Lord may not provide us with tomorrow's provision today. He may not give us what we will need next week, this week. The Lord may require us to live from day to day. We in our Western culture are so accustomed to materialism and to accumulating possessions and so on, and to set things aside for a rainy day, as we say. And while there is certainly some wisdom in some of that, the Bible clearly teaches from the beginning to the end of its pages the great danger that there is in hoarding material wealth here on earth. You can think of the rich fool that's described in Luke chapter 12. That man whose crops produced great rewards for him, and he stored them in ever bigger barns and relaxed and said, well, now I can enjoy myself. I have all of this possession. And the Lord said to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." And we can look at other passages in the Word of God that give similar warnings, that we're not to be hoarders for the sake of hoarding, that the Lord provides for our needs, and he does so day by day, and we shouldn't be concerned about the future. We're to trust in the Lord for the future, to look to him for his provision. God has promised to provide for us. That's what Jesus says here in this sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And isn't that also the great lesson from Exodus chapter 16, which Jason read to us earlier, that God would provide? Here were the Israelites, and they were grumbling that Moses had dragged them out of Egypt, where they have already forgotten they were in slavery and bondage, and had brought them into this wilderness, as they saw it, to die of hunger. And God heard their complaints, and he provided for them, and he gave them strict instructions of what they were to do. From Sunday to Friday, they were to collect the manna, this substance that would appear on the ground each morning, and from it they would make their food, and with it they would be provided for that day's need. They weren't to collect more than they were needed for that day, because God would provide for them each day. Except on the Friday they were to provide, they were to collect sufficient for the Saturday also, their Sabbath day, because he would not make provision for them on that day. It was a day of rest. And as Jason read through that passage of God's word, you saw how rebellious in heart some of those Israelites were. The first day that this manna appeared, they immediately went out collecting as much as they possibly could, making good provision for the future. But it wasn't a provision that God had allowed. And in his providence, these people were caught out as the manna was eaten by worms and stank and gave away their rebelliousness. And some of those same ones, no doubt remembering what had happened to this accumulated manna, on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, went out and collected as usual, except there was nothing for them to collect. They lacked faith in God, faith in God's provision. And it's very easy for us in our day and age to forget God's provision, and to fail to trust in the Lord to meet all our physical needs. God has warned of the dangers of trusting in his provision rather than in him as the provider. He's warned against the dangers of accumulating wealth. He's warned against the dangers of pursuing materialism rather than pursuing God. And perhaps one of the best passages that explains this is found in the book of Proverbs in chapter 30. And in verses 8 and 9, the writer says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." That ought to be our desire as we pray to the Lord, "Give us this day our daily bread. Sufficient for this day, that I might not become self-satisfied and forget that this is the Lord's provision. Sufficient for this day, that I might not be in need and steal and do other things that are inappropriate to a child of God." God wants us to trust him for his daily provision. Now, the third aspect of this request is that it's a petition that directs our thoughts upwards to God. The Bible condemns the lazy person and encourages hard work. We're all to work. The man who does not work, Paul wrote, shall not eat. And that's the world that we live in. We live in a world where we go out and we do things and we earn money to buy our food. We go to the supermarket and pick it off the shelf and pay at the checkout. And we clothe ourselves with clothing that we have bought, with the money that we have earned. And so we also provide a roof over our heads by renting property or purchasing houses. And so we, through our own efforts, make all the provision for our needs. Or do we? These people that Jesus was teaching here, they went out to work too. Some of this close-knit group of 12 disciples, some of them had been fishermen. Another had been a tax collector. Another was a doctor, from different backgrounds. They had gone out and they had worked and they had provided for their daily needs, their food, their clothing, their shelter. And in this prayer, they are told, look to God for your needs. But that's not the same as saying, don't go out to work. Don't earn your daily bread. Because God's provision is given to us in various ways and by various means. And the most common way in which God provides for our needs is by giving us work and enabling us to earn money, to purchase these necessaries of life. And we need to daily remind ourselves that this is the case, that we're to look to God for this provision and not to ourselves. It is so easy to trust ourselves, to trust our own abilities, to trust our own strength, to trust in our own gifts. But God says, no, look to me. I'll give you those gifts. I'll give you that strength. I'll give you that employment that you need. Look to me for the provision. Recognize that all of these things come from my hand. The psalmist in Psalm 127 makes some significant statements. In that psalm he writes there in the first two verses, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep." The psalmist is recognizing here that, well, there are those who can go and they can build a house. And there are those who can stand as sentinels at night in the city, watchmen. And they can do this important work. And it's all very good and it all is very appropriate. But unless God is there as well, it's all in vain. All our greatest effort is in vain. Those who rise up early and go to bed late, eating in sorrow through the pain of hard labour, they're not achieving anything, the psalmist is saying. God gives sleep to his beloved. He gives rest to those who trust in him, who do their day's labour, yes, but they do it with an eye to God and an eye to God's provision, not trusting in themselves, but recognising that this is the means that God has appointed for meeting their needs and being satisfied with the provision of each day. And then finally, the fourth aspect of this request, give us this day our daily bread. Not only gives us a breadth of meaning, nor a narrowness, not only does it direct our thoughts upwards to God, but it is a petition that ought to point around us to others. We're requesting that our needs be met, not simply that my needs be met. This whole prayer is a prayer that isn't individualistic. The interesting thing is that Jesus has just told his disciples that when they're to pray, they're not to do it publicly. They're to go into a closet and pray in secret. And the God who hears in secret will reward them. And yet the prayer that he gives them to pray in secret is a prayer that's in the plural. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. We're not to think of ourselves only. We're part of a community of God's people. And so our prayers are to be focused not on ourselves, but on the group, as it were. We're to recognize that we're part of a family. And so this petition, along with the others, causes us to think about the others around us, to think about their needs as well as our own needs. And this is vitally important because, you see, the way that God often provides for the need of his children is by giving an abundance to one, with the expectation that that one will share of his abundance with those who have need. We see that very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul there talks to the Corinthians about the promise that they had given some months earlier to help the believers in Jerusalem. They had this great desire to help the believers in Jerusalem. But at the time, they themselves were short of funds and were not in a position to give to the Jerusalem church. And Paul then goes on to say to them and to explain to them that's fine, that their desire was in the right place, and okay, they couldn't perform on that desire. But now things have changed, he explains to them. Now you are in a position to help. And now you ought to fulfill that desire that you originally had. There was a readiness, a desire to do it, he says, so there also may be a completion of what you now have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, and this is quoting from Exodus 16, which we read earlier, he who hath gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. How does God meet the needs of his people? Well, not necessarily by giving every individual exactly the same amount. He gives more to some with the expectation and the requirement that one who has an abundance should share with those who have a lack. We see it on a global scale today, don't we? People talk about the shortages that there are in certain countries. There are countries that are suffering famines for one reason or another. And there's great needs in those countries. While in other countries, there are what are called food mountains. In some countries, governments pay their farmers not to produce because they have too much. This is God's provision. He's provided on a global scale sufficient for the whole of this world's population and more to spare. But in the corruptness of his heart, man will not share. And he will sooner pay people not to produce than he will pay to have that food shipped to where it's needed. The sad thing is that we often see exactly the same thing happening in our churches, where those who have an abundance hoard up their abundance, while those who lack continue to suffer. This prayer directs us to look around us, to see those around us who are in need. And as God has provided for us, so we are to share with those who are lacking. And so this simple petition has so much in it. And I would encourage you to continue to think about this and to mull over what this prayer is saying and what it's saying to you. Here is what God has done for you. He has promised to provide for all your material needs. What does he require of you? He requires that you trust him for that provision. And when he oversupplies your needs, to look around to others who have been short supplied. And in that way, as Paul says, there will be an equality. May God help us to walk before him honorably and in a way that glorifies his name. Amen.